Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for being able to gather. We thank you for the freedom that you've given us in this nation. We thank you that you have held off, I guess it's to be thanked anyway, for persecution and the refusing us to gather together and even mention your name. And so, Lord, that is such a blessing we have right now. May we be truly thankful for what you're doing in this nation and even in this state. And all far apart from that is what you've already done and what you continue to do in throwing your love and grace and mercy to us. So we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for your word. And as we read it this morning, just almost this whole time will be spent just on verses. And that's the best there is. That is truth. Not just true, it is true, but it's truth itself. Is your word. So help us to receive it, even though familiar, help us to understand it maybe more clearly than ever before, and as it would relate to us and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we are in 1 John. As you know, this is the second time. Last week we did the first four verses, and today we'll do verses 5 through 10, finishing the first chapter. So I thought we would stand, those of us who are able to stand, and read the first 10 verses together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. All right. Last week, we were talking about the first four verses, and we mentioned in verse 3 one of the four great benefits in chapter 1, and that was fellowship. And we got to verse 4, and we mentioned the second great benefit in chapter 1 is joy. And today in verse 7, we're going to look at cleansing, and we're going to look at forgiveness in verse 9. Such huge, 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 huge important things. So verse 5 we read, as we read already, but looking at verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So notice the emphasis on light. We know there are two kingdoms that we live in. One is the kingdom of light, and one is the kingdom of darkness. And it's one or the other. Everybody is walking in one or those two kingdoms, and will spend eternity in one or those two kingdoms. God is light, In him is light. In him is life. In him is everything. In him is no darkness at all. Is that your God? Do you ever think, God, I don't know. I think, not sure you're making a, not making a mistake here, as it looks to me. No, there's no darkness in him at all. We read in 1 John 3, we'll get to that, regarding the message in a couple of weeks or so. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So we just said in today, verse 3, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you. And in 1 John 3:11, we narrow it down a little bit there, that you've heard from the beginning that we should love one another. That's the message. And then the last part of that phrase, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We read in the first epistle of Timothy 6:16, who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. In the Gospel of John, we read regarding light in John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men, agape, loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So most of us this morning, in fact, all of us still, I think, yet drove with our lights on this morning, right? Why do you have to turn your lights on? Well, because the light of the sun has not yet removed the darkness. So we put our own artificial lights on, don't we? But light exposes and expels darkness. You don't go into a dark room and start to try to drive out the light by human effort or anything. You turn on the light, right? Same thing spiritually. We need to turn on the light. John 1:9, we will read a little later on. That's the gospel again. Gospel of John. I get them mixed up between gospel and epistle, but this is not 1 John, this is John 1. John 1:9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Think of that. Every man. So nobody is absent from the availability of that light, it says here. In verse 6, then, we say fellowship. Now, koinonia, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Wow. So perfect, aren't these verses? I mean, all his whole word is. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The second chapter we will read in verse 9 of this epistle. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, if we all just wrote down on a paper, or whatever, you wrote it down right now, what do you hate? I hope it's evil and things that God hates. I hope it's not anything else, because if it's something else, there's some darkness there within us that we need to get out of there. We need to take care of that. Those of you who will be in the 2 Samuel study this week, it's all based on two words, really, with Ahithophel and Absalom, and that's hatred. Hatred and rebellion, hatred and bitterness. And the bitterness will end up, hatred and bitterness will end up taking lives of both of those men. So sad, so tragic. But is there any hatred in my heart against anyone or against anything that is not, should be there? It needs to be eliminated by his light, is what we see here. Verse 7, now this is a great one here. Fellowship, that's one of the big things here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now let that verse really be branded on your brain when you think about witnessing to others. That's the whole issue. There's no other way other than the blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness. I don't care what you believe or how sincere you are, if you do not believe in that, you're lost. And everything else, no matter all your deeds and everything else, if you don't know that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from what? All sin, all sin, all sin. 1 Corinthians 6:11 talks about those who are living in ungodly things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It terminates by saying in verse 11 of first chapter 6, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians, and such were some of you. All those sins that are listed in those earlier verses, we were involved in some of those. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Beautiful, beautiful verse, isn't it? Important verse. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Worse than being a liar, when you get to the place of saying you have no sin in your life, then there's no truth in us at all. But verse 9, a big one again, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. There is the embodiment of forgiveness. Now notice, if we confess our sins, this is not going to some other person in a confessional kind of a thing, or even in your own privacy of saying, I confess my sins and go right on. That means to stop and look at them, or it, whichever we're talking about, sins or sin, and see it the way God sees it, which is totally different than the way I see it. I'm all on the justification of my way. I know there's a reason I did that. You know, I'm justified somewhat in doing what I did. I know it's sin, but look at it the way God looks at it. He hates it because it's any sin separates you from God somewhat, and he doesn't want any separation. He loves you that much. So he hates sin, and he always will hate sin. If we confess our sins, Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Wow, beautiful. His mercy endures forever. Second clause, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Great chapter 3 of Romans, verse 24 reads, being justified just as if we had never sinned, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, satisfaction paying in full, as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Hallelujah. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be what? Just and the justifier. Those are two such important words, just and justifier. And after Adam and Eve's sin, we would have all said, well, that's it. Man is hopelessly separated from God. There's never any way that a just God can commune with sin. No way you can bring those two sides together. And it's true in our way. But God sent his Son, fully man and fully God, to bring the just and the justifier together. So here we read that he is the justifier and just of the one who has faith in Jesus. And then final clause in verse 9, and to cleanse us. I believe that's catharize kind of a thing, where you cleanse something by burning it out. But to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think of that. This is not wiping down your countertop and getting rid of a little of the dirt. This is cleansing it all. I mean, completely cleansing it from all unrighteousness. Psalm 51, David would say after his Bathsheba thing, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. 1 Corinthians 9:27 reads, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So we do need to exercise self-control with regard to our carnal nature. So the confession of sin is the method, the right method for bringing together a sinful man and a righteous God. Obviously, confession means to turn from your sin and turn to, or repentance, I should say, really, and confession. Saying the same thing that God has said. Sin is a terrible thing, God hates it, and now you hate it. Confession restores us to God. And the final verse for today, verse 10. If we say, this is another if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When we get to the fifth chapter of this epistle, verse 10, we read, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he's not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Romans 3:23 tells us we all are sinners. We don't want to make God a liar. 3:23 in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Wow. So there we have six great verses there finishing out the first chapter. And especially we focused a bit on cleansing and forgiveness. So as we go to the Lord today, may we remember these things, keep them in mind, and apply them to the things that the Lord puts on our heart that we should bring to him, and let us to remember to be thankful and to be praising him for what he has done, is doing, and will do. So let's pray now together. Father, I want to thank you for the rain. Your life, and we know the essential ingredient in these bodies is water. There's no life can be sustained apart from water, and so we thank you, and it's been gentle for a longer period of time. We thank you, Lord. Well, we kind of come to the end of the hour. Remember the benefits that we read about today once again. Fellowship that he has given us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The joy, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Cleansing, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses his Son. Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then forgiveness. Lord, we haven't prayed much about forgiveness today, maybe some, but we thank you for it, and help us to be forgivers. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we have much to be thankful for. We've talked a lot about the darkness. I do not believe times are nearly as dark now as they will get. And I think it's not the problem anyway. The problem is not the darkness, it's the light. And Lord, we prayed for those who are beaten down, and that is good. I also want to pray for those who are not beaten down. We got millions of believers in this nation who are doing nothing. They have no real problems, they're just quiet. They're not really shining their light into the dark place at all. And I just pray for that revival in the body of Christ, Lord, to be alive for you and in you and of you, that could contain the joy of our salvation. It's got to go out. It's got to go out. So I pray for that in the church, not the church. I'm talking about the true church, not about the false church, but the believers, Lord. And as we come back to the koinonia, as we come back to the fellowship, as we come back to that, I just want to close with this song today. As we gather, or as we fellowship, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our heart begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. And then the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. New every morning, great is thy faithfulness. So let's sing this familiar praise song here, if we may.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. As we
thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord, and help us to be that light into the dark place and go before us. Again, we thank you for the rain, and Lord, keep us safe on the road and just open to you to be available for you today and every day you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.